Yeah, it's been an amazing World Cup. It still is, and the big one is tomorrow, the final. But it all started a while back. It kicked off with a beautiful moment, an outer space moment, out of this world moment, with the astronauts. I don't know if you saw the video clip of the astronauts playing football, and a wonderful save by a floating American goalkeeper. And they sent a message back to the world, or to the Earth, if you like, wishing all teams good luck in the World Cup. Kind of set the tone for me, that YouTube video. But I'm going to ask you a question. A long time ago, when you were young, some 4 weeks ago, when the World Cup started on Saturday, the 14th of June, it didn't start proper. It started already at that stage. But the English manager, Roy Hodgson, walked out onto the pitch, into the Arena Amazonia on the Saturday, 14th of June. And he did something unusual before the Italian game. He walked over to the whole Italian bench and shook hands with each substitute, every single one of them. And for me, although England were beaten 2-1, I thought they played great football that day, and I really thought there was a new England coming through. And there is potential, there's no doubt. But anyways, it was a magical moment, an unusual moment. I've never seen a manager do it before. But for me, it was like an announcement of game on, boys. Good luck. Get stuck in. Here we go. And I thought it was very exciting, and turned out to be a very exciting game. And then 2 days later, the American manager, Jürgen Klinsmann, the former German footballing genius, I saw him embracing a Ghana player. And this is during the USA versus Ghana game. What was his name? Michael Essien, who was on the bench. And it was just an unusual moment for opposition manager, opposition player to hug each other and have a chat. And of course, as you know, Klinsmann was renowned for his naughty diving. And when he went to Spurs many years later, he took a dive after his first goal in the mud, and all the Tottenham players did the same, and he won over the nation really at that time. But anyways, that was the US Ghana game. But then Ghana took on Germany on the 21st of June, and you know, the first half was a pretty boring affair, and it was billed, if you remember, as the Battle of the Brothers, with Ghana's Kevin Prince and his brother, his German brother, Jerome Prince, playing against each other. Well, ironically, they were both taken off at half time, and then the game exploded into a spectacle. There was a 20-minute period when there was a bonanza, a four-goal bonanza. And, you know, Germany went ahead, but when the Ghanaians equalised, game was on, and suddenly Ghana playing great football, and they took the lead. And then on 71 minutes, the Germans equalised. But when they scored their second goal, it was that moment of exuberance, that moment of delight and joy, sheer unexuberated joy. And it was lovely to see the whole Ghana team kind of doing their little dance. And you know, we have evidence from sports scientists. We work with Notre Dame University, one of the greatest sports universities in the world. And they've given us scientific evidence that proves sportsmanship improves your performance, particularly if you're enjoying your game. You know, focused, but enjoying your game. So it's great to see players having a bit of fun and enjoying themselves, you know. You know, instead of the kind of Rooney rage celebrations, seeing players having a good time, which, you know, brings us back to one of the greatest footballers, you know, characters ever, was the great Roger Miller, who, you know, remember Roger Miller?
Yeah.
No one knew his age. You know, the Prime Minister didn't know his age. He'd lost his pat, all that sort of story. But I don't know, 36 or 38 when he scored his, it wasn't his last goal, but he did a famous samba dance in the corner.
Yeah, in the corner flag, yeah. I think that was in 1990, it was Italia 90, wasn't it, against Argentina when he scored.
How old is he then?
Well, I thought he was 38.
38, and he did one more World Cup.
He's still 38, apparently.
And he did one more World Cup, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he would have been 42 doing it, and he was a goal scorer, prolific, but a great entertainer and a character. And you know, he'd celebrate, and it was just lovely to see the joy back in the game. So anyway, fast forward onto the knockout stages, it gets a bit more serious, but there was still sort of more unbridled joy in goal celebrations. And a great moment came from, you know, the kind of revelation of the World Cup for me was the young 22-year-old Colombian. James Rodriguez. Now, Rodriguez was undoubtedly a genius, and his goal against Uruguay for me was the best goal so far.
Yeah,
we might see a better one tomorrow. We'll see. But it was a great moment, and of course, when he and the team went off and did their little samba dance again, it's just great to see. You know, people having fun instead of angry rage.
Yeah, my kids loved, my boy in particular wanted Colombia to do well, because I mean, even my daughter, because they wanted to see what they'd do if they won the World Cup, what sort of dance they'd do for that. Can you imagine?
Oh, fantastic. In fact, BBC this morning were talking about tomorrow's final, and they were saying, who do you want to win? You know, is it Argentina or maybe is it the Germans? And the guy actually said at the end, he said, actually, who's going to do the better gold celebration dance? And they started saying that's the one they wanted to win, which proves financially, you know, people have more affection and more belonging and affinity with clubs or players that, you know, enjoy themselves and show sportsmanship values. A la Pelé, you know, one of the great statesmen. Brazil's greatest player was not Pelé. It was Grincha, in my opinion. And most Brazilians would agree with that. But no one remembers Grincha over here because he didn't have the statesman smiling presence that the wonderful Pelé had, you know. So this idea of being able to celebrate joy and show a smile on your face is important. Anyways, moving on to Mexicans who really caught my eye, their manager, Miguel Herrera.
Yeah.
You know, what a character. He won a lot of hearts because he had a team that was made, some said, a ragbag of players. He dropped all the big boys, the big names, the prima donnas, and he kind of rallied this team of unknown players to become a serious threat in the World Cup. But what was interesting was the players' celebrations. When they scored goals, they all ran to him and hugged him and swung and leapt out of him. In fact, one stage they knocked him down and climbed on top of him and hugged him. And, you know, it was hilarious. But his animated passion on the side was no doubt amazing TV to watch, but it worked with the players and there was a bond with that team. And for me, he was the manager of the series. Herrera, I'd have to put down as a special guy for the World Cup. Yeah,
there's been some scenes as well. You may have seen the replay of the Argentinian manager when they just missed a chance, I think, in their quarterfinal.
Yes.
And he almost sort of pretends to faint.
Yes.
And he falls backwards.
Yes.
But then he realises, actually, I'm going to fall over and hurt myself, tries to right himself.
Yeah.
Even he looks very straight-laced, but even he gets involved.
Yes, lovely stuff. So, you know, managers are by definition leaders. And so, therefore, they're role models. You know, so for them to display friendship with the opposition or with their own players, it's a great thing. And